All right, tonight we're going to read actually four passages, but you'll only turn with me to two of them. Start first in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 13. And then if you'll mark that, the next verses that you'll read with me will be Luke chapter 19, verse 46. Matthew 21, 13. And Luke 19:46. I'll give you time to find both of those. You'll find Matthew 21:13 first. I'm going to read to you Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 7. And then we'll read Matthew 21:13 together in a moment. Isaiah 56, 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. The burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now, if you'll follow with me in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Ready? And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves. Now, I'm going to read one other verse while you're turning to Luke 19:46. If you'll look up Luke 19:46, I'll read Mark 11:17 to you. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, Luke chapter 19, verse number 46. Ready? Saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And let's pray. Father, thank you. What an honor and privilege it is to be able to close our eyes and talk to the God of the universe. What an awesome privilege you've given us. But Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight, as he tries to draw your people closer to you so that we could have a better fellowship with you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I entitled the sermon this evening, The House of Prayer. The House of Prayer. Earlier, you read with Brother Bush four different passages of Scripture. I will remind you of what you read. And I want you to notice four times in those four different scriptures from four different books penned by four different men, it used somewhat the same wording. In Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 7, twice it mentions this. It says, my house of prayer. In Isaiah 56, 7 again, it says, mine house shall be called an house of prayer. We go to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse number 13, and it uses this wording, my house shall be called the house of prayer. We then venture on to the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse number 17. We see this wording, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. We go to Luke chapter 19, verse number 46, and the Bible uses this wording, my house is the house of prayer. Five different times in four different verses, almost identical wording about the house of God being a house of prayer. Now, I'll tell you right now, there will be no humor in this evening's sermon. If you're a visitor here tonight, I pray that you'd be patient. Based on my usual format, this sermon will be a bit unorthodox on that which I would usually do. I have given most everybody, as you were entering, we were trying to distribute some 3x5 cards or some 4x6 cards. I don't want you to write on it right now. Later on, I'm going to ask you to write something on it. You say, well, I didn't get one. Rip a page out of the songbook and you can use that later. Don't you do that. You just have to find something to write on. We tried to distribute them, but you'll have a chance to write later on. But don't let that startle you. Continue to give me your attention. Tonight's sermon, I think, will be a bit different. And I hope it is an awful lot personal for both you and for me. God says, my house. Now, when God talks about his house, he's talking about the church. We call it the house of God. Oh, I'll remind you, God does not live in this structure. God lives within the Christian. The Bible teaches that very clearly. I am the place where God dwells. But we call this the house of God. And he says, my house, meaning the church, is to be a house of prayer. Oh, I want our church to be a praying church. Tonight, I want to talk to you for a little while about this thought of a house of prayer. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you five very short and simple points about prayer. We're then going to make a real quick prayer list together. We're going to write 8 items on that prayer list. We're going to have a time of prayer. We'll have an altar call. And then we'll go home. But I want you to stay with me, if you will, please. Listen as I want to teach you. I wish I could develop each one of these points for hours. They are that developable, but I cannot this evening for the sake of time, and that's not the purpose of tonight. But listen, I'll tell you when to write, and I'm going to help you get a prayer list in a minute, but I want you to listen to me right now. Let me say, first of all, prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 and 8, where the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The word ask in that verse is virtually the word prayer. Now, we don't rewrite the Bible. We think God did a fine job of writing it. But just so you know, the word prayer and the word ask in that verse and most other verses, they're interchangeable. Now, we don't want to interchange. We're going to leave it just the way God wrote it. But prayer is asking. Please don't forget about that. The word prayer means ask. God wants you to ask Him for things. What a wonderful thing. God wants us to ask. Now, I'm not going to go much further with that thought because I need to move on. But let me tell you one little illustration, if I could. A man died and he went to heaven. While there, he was getting that tour of heaven. One of the saints was taking him around. He seen the golden streets and the gates of pearl. And he met the saints of God from years gone by. And he ended up in a great big room that was just packed full of wonderful, wonderful things. This man that had died said to the saint, "And what is this room?" And that saint said, "This room is the room of all the things that God wanted to give you, but you never asked. So you had to wait until you got here to get them." I wonder how many things God has had for you and me, but we just didn't believe Him when He said ask, and we therefore did not ask, and we therefore did without. But I want you to remember something. Prayer is asking. Number two, we don't receive because we don't ask. That's simple, isn't it? We don't receive because we don't ask. Let me give you a portion of a verse in James chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says, "Yet you have not because you ask not." Now, folks, I'm going on 31 years I've been preaching the gospel. And if you're a guest, I'm probably younger than what you think. I started preaching when I was 16. You do the math. And if you're from West Virginia, that means 31 years, okay? I've been preaching for 30 plus years now. And I'm going to tell you, I know there are a lot of theological analyzations as to why we don't get what we pray for, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the number one reason why we don't get things from God is because we don't ask. We don't pray. The problem is a lack of prayer. I know there's all the techniques that go along with it, but I'm telling you, the bottom line, we just don't pray. The main reason we don't receive is because we don't request. I'll ask you a question. How much do you really pray? See, there are people in this room right now, the only prayer you said all day long is what somebody else said here at church. For some, the only time you pray is you're kind of forced to do it when you're sitting around the table and you say grace over the food that your wife made for you. And again, I cannot go further with the thought I want to. But I say to you, number one, prayer is asking. I say to you, number two, we don't receive because we don't ask. And number three, We don't receive because we ask for the wrong reasons. We don't receive because we ask for the wrong reasons. And that's the easiest way I could word it. And again, we could go into it deep, but it's probably simpler than what our mind allows it to be. Let me read a verse to you. In James chapter 4, verse number 3, it says, "You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust or your own lust." You see, prayer is asking. One of our biggest problems is we don't ask, therefore we don't receive. But then if you are asking and not receiving, it might be because you're asking for the wrong reason. Here, it talks about we don't receive because we request it so that we could consume it upon our own lust. Listen, let me give you a piece of advice. When you pray, ask for things that God wants you to have. He's got it. You want it. Now ask for it. But ask for things that He wants you to have. You say, "But how do I know what He wants you to have?" This whole book tells you what He wants you to have. Right there's the menu. You want to go to the restaurant and order? Right there's the menu. Order anything on the menu. This is the parts list. You go down to the parts counter and He'll give you anything in the book. That's His goal. God is not trying to keep you from getting things. Ask Him. And here's where we mess up, folks. And maybe I'm oversimplifying it. Maybe I'm not. But where we mess up is we don't ask for spiritual things. And we've got to be unstingy in our asking. Ask for things for others. Ask for things that God would want you to have. Ask for things that will help you spiritually. Ask for decent, wholesome, good things. Why? Because we don't receive due to the fact that we asked for the wrong reasons. So let me review. I said, number one, prayer is asking. Number two, we don't receive because we don't ask. Number three, we don't receive if we do ask because we asked for the wrong reason. Number four, I recommend to you that before you ask God, that you confess your sin. Before asking, confess your sin to the one who does the answering. Here's why. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Let me read it again. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So, what we need to do, that word, those words, regard iniquity, it means permitting a known sin in my life. You need to get that known sin taken care of. So confess your sin before you pray. What does that mean? Confess your sin before you ask. Clear the air between you and God. Remove any barriers, if you will, that might hinder Him from giving you what you want. And we call that the confession of our sin. That's a good thing to do. It's a way to pop the windows of heaven open so God may shower His blessing on you. Now listen, let me review. Prayer is asking. Number two, we don't receive primarily because we don't ask. Number three, if we do ask and don't receive, it's because we ask for the wrong reason. Number four, we should confess our sin to the one who does the answering before we ask and remove any barrier between us and God. Number five, when you pray, you should pray so you could be understood. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, I used a little of this in my sermon this morning. The Bible says, "I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also." You need to be understood of God when you pray. Listen, folks, God's not looking for you to make weird sounds when you're praying. We almost get spooky spiritual. That's stupid. I don't know where that kind of jump comes from. God's not asking us to make weird sounds. Oh, now listen. There are times when people pray and they weep and their heart is tender. But God's not trying to make us into some mechanism that makes sounds. You're not a musical instrument when you pray. You're supposed to pray with understanding. You pray very clearly to God. You say, "Well, what do I do when I pray?" You talk to God. Like, I'm talking to you. Now, it does no good for me to talk to you if you don't understand me. It's like I said earlier this morning. I said to the choir, I said to the musicians around here. The Bible says we're to sing with understanding. What does that mean? You're to sing so the people understand what you're singing. And you're to pray so God or people understand what you're praying. And it's not a unique language to pray to God. You talk to God. You just talk to God. If you pray out loud in a group, then that group needs to understand so they can pray silently with you while you're praying aloud. It's not some spooky thing, but God wants to hear you pray. It's not to be a weird, man-made, conjured-up atmosphere at prayer. It's not supposed to be that way. It's to be a time of prayer. You take, for instance, a group of people and a bunch of people choose to pray. It's to be something that's organized. It's not supposed to be weird.
Right.
So, when you pray, pray so it can be understood by God, by others. Now, I want to help you make a prayer list. I want you to pull out a piece of paper. We won't be doing this again anytime soon. I usually prefer that people don't take notes, but they listen. I like writing it on the heart, not on a piece of paper. But, and again, if you're a guest here this evening, this isn't how we usually do things around here, and I wish you'd come back at another time and you know, get a little bit of everything that we serve around here. Don't make a judgment on just this evening. Let me review. You're getting out your paper. You're getting out your piece of paper and your pen. Remember, number one, prayer is asking. And I don't want you to write this. I'll tell you what to write in a moment. Prayer is asking. We don't receive because we don't ask. If we do ask and don't receive, it's usually because we ask for the wrong reason. Before asking, confess your sin to the one who does the answering. When you pray, pray so it's understood. It should be clear communication between you and God. Now, I'm going to help you to prepare a prayer list for a specific purpose. Here we go. I want you to write, number one, I want you to write, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Write it. As soon as you write it, look back up at me so I know that you have written it. The Holy Spirit. Won't take you long. The Holy Spirit. Look back up here right away. As soon as you write it, look up this way. The Holy Spirit. Now, I wish that everybody in this church would pray about the Holy Spirit and His power being upon this church. I'm not afraid of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be. It's true. It's real. It's not what everybody out there makes it into, but it is a wholesome, decent doctrine, and you need to pray that the Holy Spirit of God is upon this place. You need to pray that the Holy Spirit of God is upon our services and upon our music and upon the preaching and upon the staff. And truth be known, we ought to be praying that the Holy Spirit of God is upon the congregation. The Holy Spirit of God is not just for the pulpit. It's for the pew, too. One of the reasons we're almost overworking preachers is because the pew expects the preacher to do all the work. You ought to be listening in the power of the Holy Spirit while he's preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that unified team will make all the difference in the world. But number one on our prayer list is the Holy Spirit of God on this place. Number two, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. And again, once you've written it, look up, and that way I'll know that we can move on. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. Just so you know, and I think most all of you understand this, our church is not just a soul-winning church, it's a Great Commission church. We're not just interested in keeping people out of hell or getting them saved. God gave us a Great Commission. It was a three-part commission. He said, I want you to go get them saved, then I want you to get them baptized, I want you to teach them to go and do likewise. In other words, after you get them saved and baptized, you try to get them in and grow them and nurture and disciple them so they could become a part of the Christian army. But we ought to be praying that our church is successful at the Great Commission, praying that souls be saved, praying that people get baptized after they get saved, and praying that they follow through and get into the New Testament church and grow in the Lord and become productive Christians. Let's go on. Number three, I want you just to put the hurting. The hurting. H-U-R-T. Hurting. The hurting. And believe God will bless the church. And again, once you've written the hurting, I want you to look back up at me. I believe this. I believe that God will bless a church that cares about hurting people. I believe that there are people in this church that have burdens. Some that were brought on them by life. Some that were self-inflicted. Some, but burdens and heartaches. I think there are people here with the hurting I would include. We have people that are not well. They're sick. But I think that we ought to pray for the hurting people of our church. So we have the Holy Spirit, number one. We have the Great Commission, number two. We have the hurting, number three. And number four, I want you to write, the backslidden. The backslidden. The backslidden. What do we mean by backslidden? We mean people that are born again, but they've gotten away from God. They've gotten away from the church. Hey, there's some people that are backslidden that are in church. They just paint on a smile, but on the inside, they're not right with God. The backslidden. Let me tell you something about this. I teach the men in our men's prayer meeting, and I'll teach you this right now. I think that when you're in a group with people, I don't think you need to be calling out all the backslidden's names. That tends to, sometimes prayer meetings turn into gossip sessions where we just spread news about people. That doesn't impress me in the slightest. You need to say, God, I'm thinking of someone right now and they're away from you, and God, bring them back. You do it that way, but you don't need to call the roll of all the people that you've investigated in your Phariseeism and you're reporting to everyone what you think's wrong with everybody, because we might have to put you on the list for being a gossip, and we'll pray for you out loud in front of everybody. Oh, but we want to pray for the backslidden. Number five, I'm going to ask you to pray for our building program. Our building program. God knows if we can't get more buildings up, I don't know where we're going to put all the people. Thank God that we've broken ground out here, but we've got a long way to go. A long way to go. So the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, the Great Commission. Number three, the hurting. Number four, the backslidden. Number five, the building program. Number six, I'd like for you to pray for the finances of the church. You just write the word finances. You can write money if you would like. The greatest, the heaviest part of the responsibility that I probably carry is the finances of the church. It takes a lot of money to run a church this size. I think there are 40 full and part-time staff members. You've seen that big old troop of buses out there, and I know you love them. We're going to keep them running. But if you just start thinking about the cost of gas, the maintenance, and the paint jobs, those red, white, and blue beautiful buses, and the insurance, and everything that goes along with it, this is bad grammar, but it's true. It ain't cheap. But let's pray for the finances of everything that goes on around here. Number six. Number seven, pray for our nation. You can write down America. You can write down USA. And I wish you would, off to the side of this thing, I'm going to ask you in two ways to write something there by USA. I would like, we use in a little abbreviation around here, ECLC, that's East Coast Ladies Conference, which you'd write, East Coast Ladies Conference, right there by our nation, ECLC, that's East Coast Ladies Conference, then maybe you could put a little slash and put OP, what's OP, that's Old Paths. Now the reason I'm asking you to do that, because if we pray for our nation, we have a chance to influence the nation with the East Coast Ladies Conference. I don't know if you realize it, but when 1,200 ladies, well over 100 churches come here every year, and it's growing, it's getting bigger this year. I hope to stop and realize there are not many ladies' conferences in the United States of America that draw that many people. And if you'll stop and think about it for just a second, we've only been doing it, you know, 4 or 5 years where we've had the East Coast Ladies Conference. So it's a big deal. And God's using it. The Old Paths Conference. This year, I would be shocked if the Old Paths Conference does not double in size. Let's pray for America, and if you would, if you'll pray for those conferences, it would help. Number eight, and this is the last thing I want to ask you to put on your prayer list this evening, God's protection. God's protection. God's protection. Once you've written it, if you'll look back up at me, really, I'd like for you to put your pen away, keep your prayer list out. God's protection. So what do you mean by that, Brother Owens? Oh, don't be fooled. You can't have God working in a church like God works in this one without the attack of Satan.
Yes, sir.
We're on Satan's territory. When we start getting all those people saved and all those lives changed. Hey, when you look around at a crowd like this on a Sunday night in a New Testament Baptist church, you can be sure Satan's not happy about it. He'd rather go to all those churches that have 15 tonight. You know, they had 300 this morning, but only 15 people come back on Sunday night because they're not really interested in God's work on Sunday night. Hey, the devil would prefer that people weren't in church on a regular basis. They'd prefer we didn't run those buses. Do you think the devil's happy every Sunday morning when nearly 1,000 people show up at this place and all those people getting saved and baptized and lives being changed? He's not happy about it. We better pray for God's protection in regard to our church. God's protection for the congregation. God's protection for those bus captains and the deacons and the staff. I hate to ask, but I wish you'd ask God's protection on me and my family. I promise you, the devil, not because of Jeff Owens, but because of the position that I fill, and I magnify mine office. I'm a pastor of a New Testament church, and I promise you, the devil hates the pastor of a New Testament church. There are other pastors here tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Hang in there. Hey, I'm glad we're worthy of attack. The devil's going to mess with the churches that are getting the job done. But let's pray for God's protection. Now, listen, I'll repeat myself and we'll move on. Number one, prayer is asking. Number two, we don't receive primarily because we don't ask. Number three, we don't receive if we do ask because we ask for the wrong reasons. Number four, before we ask, we should confess our sin to the one who does the answering. Clear the air. Number five, when you pray, you're to pray with understanding. You're to communicate with God very, very clearly. You just tell Him what you want and you talk to God. It's not some weird communication. Number six, we made a prayer list. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Great Commission. Number three, hurting people. Number four, the backslidden. Number five, our building program. Number six, the finances of the church. Number seven, our nation, including the East Coast Ladies Conference at Old Paths. Number eight, protection for God's work, God's people, and God's leadership. Now, I want you to stay with me. This is where we're going to do things a bit different this evening. I'm going to ask us to have a time of prayer together here in our church. We've never done anything like this, exactly like this before, and may never do it again. In a minute, I'm going to ask all of us to go to our knees. You say, what? I think the Bible says His house is a house of prayer. Should we feel uncomfortable going to our knees in the house of prayer? Would it shock someone that you prayed at church? Surely Christianity has not gotten so far away from religion that we're afraid to pray. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, right where you are, I'm going to ask us to go to our knees. And for those of you that cannot, we understand that. And if there's somebody here that doesn't want to, that's okay. We're not going to judge you for that. You might be a visitor here tonight and say, goodness, what have I gotten myself into? I understand. Some won't be able to go to their knees because of their health. Maybe a back problem. Nobody's going to judge anybody here. But in a moment, we're going to go to our knees. To our visitors, we don't mean to embarrass you. We've never done anything like this in this church service before. And again, we may never do anything exactly like it again. Some of you, when we go to our knees in a moment, if you need to use a bit of the aisle, you may. And here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is when I ask us to go to our knees, I'm going to ask you to take a moment, and I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you, first of all, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and clean up anything between you and Him that would keep Him from answering your prayer. Then I wish you'd take a moment and pray down that prayer list. You just pray down the prayer list. My recommendation is that you pray silently. You say, why? You get a big old crowd of people like this. Everybody praying at one time. Somebody's liable to think there's some sort of a movement going on around here that's not going on around here. I'm not going to turn this into a charismatic hodgepodge of confusion. So I think it's best that you pray silently to your God. That way it is not misinterpreted into being something that it's not, because we're supposed to pray with understanding. Then, as we pray silently, and I'll give you a little bit of time. Listen, if you're a parent and you've got a little one with you and you want to pray with him there, and again, if husband or wife are right there together and you want to pray together, that's fine with me. But we'll pray for a little while, and basically it's going to get quiet in here. then, I'm going to call a couple of men from the congregation to come up. And after we've had a little time where we as a congregation can pray about these eight items, I'm going to ask those men to pray aloud on the microphone. At that moment, here's what we all do. When those men pray, we all unify our efforts, and we agree on the inside, in our hearts and in our mind, with what they're saying. We pray along with them, but they pray out loud, and we pray silently. That's how it's supposed to be done. Why? Well, if we all start praying out loud together, it's not going to be understood. Do you understand why it is that way?
Amen.
So, I'll have these couple of men pray. Then I will close us in a word of prayer. Now, the minute that's done, we'll go back to our seats. We'll have an altar call, and we'll go home. I told you it'd be a little bit different, but I just feel like this is what the Lord would have us to do tonight. So that's what we're going to do. Brother John Kidwell, why don't you come up here? Brother Andrew Logue, are you in here somewhere? There, Brother Logue, I'm sorry, I didn't see. Why don't you guys come up here? I'm going to ask these men from the congregation to pray for me. So here's what will happen. The moment we're going to our knees. And after you have just a little while to pray about these issues, Brother John, then you'll step up here, and you guys can pray silently for a little while, and we'll have Brother John step up, he'll pray, and we'll unify our efforts. Then, Andrew, you'll follow him, and then I'll follow you, and then we'll tune back in, and you'll have a seat, and I'll talk to you just a little bit further. But what I want us to do now is, if you're able and you can go to your knees, if you need to use the aisle, you do so. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. If you need to sit, you may do so. I want you to use your prayer list, glance at it from time to time, pray about these things. And for some of you, it'll be the first time you've been on your knees for a long time. You just take off and you pray. Don't play. Young people don't play. Children don't play. I'll correct you if I see you messing around. You just take a little while and you pray about these things that we wrote down.
Father, we just want to praise your holy name this evening. Father, I ask, Lord, as I did on my knees, that you forgive me of my sins. Father, God, I ask that you cleanse these hands. Father, may they not do something that would hurt someone, Father. God, watch my feet. Help me not to run to mischief, Father. Help me to live right, Father. Help this mouth, Father, not to say a bad thing against you, Lord, please. Lord, help me to be right with you, Father, please, as we come together and have the awesome honor to lift up this church before you. Lord, we pray by asking, Father, and we're asking a lot this evening, Father. Lord, help us to do this together, Lord, and help us to be understood. Help me to be understood, Father, please. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit's power. Father, this congregation, the people in the pew, the preachers that lead us, Father, we need the Holy Spirit's power, Father, that we might be able to do something wonderful in this area. Father, please, that we might reach the whole nation, Father. Lord, that I pray for the Great Commission. I think of the lives that's been changed over the years that I've been here, Father. I think of people that went off to Bible colleges and are serving you, Father, because we've done the Great Commission, Father. We've done the soul winning. We've done the baptizing, and they've been taught, and they've gone out and doing the same thing, Father. But we need to see more of it, Father. Help us to have compassion like we taught this afternoon in King's Kids, that we might have compassion to help see lives changed, Father, please. Father, I pray for the hurting that's in the church, Father, the people that's not well, that's been sick lately. I think of some of the babies that's been delivered lately that's had some problems, Father God. I pray that the Holy Spirit would reach down and touch them, Father, please, heal in that aspect, Father. I think of the ones that's spiritually not well, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd reach down and touch their hearts as we're praying as a church right now, wherever they might be out in this world, that you'd touch them somehow and give them a peace that only you can give them, Father. Please, Lord. Lord, I think of the backslidden, and this hurts probably the most, Father. I think of some guys that should be here and aren't, Father God. I pray wherever they're at right now, Lord, that you'd touch them, Father, that you'd give them just a little prick in their heart to know that a church loves them, that a preacher loves them, Father, that you might redeem them back to yourself, Father, please. Father, please, please, please help the backslidden. Help us to love them. Help us to greet them when we see them on the street. Help them, help us, help them to know that we love them, that we're not mad or anything like that. We'd accept them back freely and happily, Father. And Lord, I pray for the building program, Lord, and the great things that's going to be done, Father. Lord, I pray that the construction workers might do a great job, that the power, even though some of them might not be saved, that the Holy Spirit would reign around them, that they might do exactly what's supposed to be done, Father. Please help us to be a testimony to the workers that work around here, that we might see people saved. I think of one that's been saved on the playground lately, and the people that's just been saved on this property. Lord, the Holy Spirit, we've had the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've seen souls saved, Father. And then, Lord, I pray for finances, Father. Lord, think of what's all happened in this place over the years that it's been here. Lord, I thought in my seat earlier, Lord, the things that I've given up. Lord, I've given up smoking in this place, Lord. I've given up drinking in this place, Lord. Lord, I've given up a lifestyle that was worldly and running around, Father. You've taken it all from me, and I've given up my pocketbook, Father. I've given it to you that you might be able to use it, Father, and take the finances, Lord, that come in, help the people to be happy and cheerful givers and want to do something, and, Lord, want to raise money, want to give money, Father, that we might see great things happen. Father, Lord, if the day comes where we have some kind of building program that we give and give cheerfully and give happily and want to do it with a heart that would please you, Father, please, Lord. Then, Lord, I think of our nation. I think of our men. I think of Brother Chris Spiro that's in a military uniform tonight, Father, that's here in church. Lord, that might have to go over one day somewhere and serve his country and fight for our country, Lord. I think of our military people, Lord, that you protect them. I pray that people would shut their mouths up about President Bush and stand behind him like we're supposed to stand behind our preacher. I try to practice that here, and I practice it there, Father. Help us to do right. Help us to stand behind our president, Father. Help us to encourage and go on, Lord. But then, Lord, there's a bigger battle. The battle of souls, Father, and I think of the East Coast Ladies Conference, Lord, that, Father, that you have control of, Father. I pray that these ladies that come in this week, Father, might see the power of the Holy Spirit in this place, Father, that their lives might be changed, that they go back to their husbands and their churches and their preachers and their encouragement to them, and their lives will be changed. And I thank Father God of the old past conferences coming up and growing, Father, that this church might be a lighthouse in America and in the whole world, that we might help and change people's lives. Use my preacher and the great men that stand beside him to do a wonderful, wonderful and a powerful work through the Holy Spirit, Father, please. And then, Lord, I pray for your protection as all these things take place, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would shield them, that Satan couldn't get in and destroy, Father, and tear down what you're building up, Father. Lord, preacher knows the heart of mine and the numbers that I feel like we could reach and the hundreds of thousands of people that's going to be influenced because of this church, Father. Please, God, I pray for your protection upon my preacher and all these great men and the people that's in the congregation, Father God. We need your protection on our lives more than ever, Father God, because this is your church that's going to do something great, Father. Help us to zip our lip, Father. Help us not to gossip. Help us not to be backbiters. Lord, I pray just that we'd stand behind and we'd stand unified behind our preacher, and that, Lord, that great and mighty things might be done in this place, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we continue in prayer before you. And I tremble to stand before the God of the universe, not just because I stand before hundreds of people on their knees, but God, you're the all-powerful God, and the moment you could strike any one of us down, I humble before you and I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I'm an awful sinner, Lord, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm not all I ought to be. Please forgive me for that sin. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying for every one of my sins. I'm sorry that so often, and just a moment ago, I prayed and asked you to forgive me a sin, and I know between then and now, I couldn't claim perfection. I pray that you'd thank you. Thank you that you paid for every one of them with the blood that you shed. I pray you'd help me to do better. And Jesus, thank you that you give us air to breathe. You give us plenty to eat, plenty to drink. Most every one of us in here has a beautiful home, a place to sleep. And none of us deserve that. Thank you for the good things you've given to us. Tonight, Lord, we come before you on our knees and we beg you for some things. Things that we can't provide. Only you, God, can provide for us. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit's power would be upon this place. Not just this building, but Lord, just that your Holy Spirit's power would be upon the people of this place. I think as I laid prostrate on this floor yesterday morning at the men's prayer meeting and I reached my hand out and I could feel this piece of wood and I begged you, God, that your Holy Spirit would land upon our preachers. He preached this morning, and that he'd preach tonight, and that the Holy Spirit would work in his life, and that the people that sit out there in the pews would have your Holy Spirit's power upon them. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be upon the Sunday school teachers as they teach their Sunday school classes. And I've got up and I've stood and I've taught before and your Holy Spirit's power wasn't there and I was teaching on my own and I'm sorry when I did that. And I prayed you'd be there this morning and you were there. And I don't deserve that, Lord. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit was here in this place today and people were saved. That miracle happened over and over again. I remember as a little boy when I prayed and I asked you, Jesus, that I could someday be a part of a church that was accomplished in the Great Commission. And here we are. We've got a place where it's easier to serve you than anywhere else. Thank you that we can win souls to you. Help us to do more. Help us to reach them, to bring them into the church. Teach them that they need to be baptized. Help them and bring them along that they can clean up their life, and none of us are where we ought to be, Lord. Help us as we clean up our lives more and more. Lord, I think of hurting people. There's folks in the church who, I have my wife and I have my children, but I know there's folks all across the room and there's men who don't have their wives to sit beside them anymore and wives who don't have their husbands. There's mamas and daddies who cry because they're missing a little one. Or even an older child. One's gone astray. Lord, those who've gone astray, I pray that you'd comfort those that love them. And I pray that you'd bring them back to us. Bring them back to the church. Help them to know that we love them and that they've always got an open door. Help us not to judge them when they come back and they've got scars of sin upon them. Help us to put our arms around them and love them. Jesus, just like you did when you were here and a woman came to you who had some problems and you knew she was a sinner and you said, go sin no more. Lord, there's more work for us to do. There's a building out here to be built. And you need to provide the finances for it. You need to provide the workers, just like you did in Moses' day. I pray that you'd have your Holy Spirit upon the people, that they could do the work that you want to be done. I pray you'd raise that building up as quickly as we could. And there'll be other buildings, Lord. I pray that it never become just old hat for us to build a building and then to go into that building and use it for you. I pray it always be exciting and it always be big business. There's big stuff going on around here, Lord. Help it always to be that way. I pray that you keep our hearts where they're supposed to be, that we could put our money where it's supposed to be. You said that where our heart, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So I pray that you help us to put our treasures way up in heaven by supporting your work with the tithe and with our sacrificial offerings. Now, Lord, I look out across this room and there's people on their knees. If our nation would do what this room is doing tonight and house people who are begging you for their power, your power, we could turn our nation back to you. We've got an awful lot of problems, Lord. I pray that the preachers would preach and that souls would be saved and we could turn our country around, be with the conferences and the influence that this church has. Help us to do what we're supposed to do, that the people who come to see us, they could go back to their churches and their preachers and their families and their towns and cities and they could make a difference. And God, like I asked you yesterday and like I ask you every day, you don't raise a man up that the devil doesn't shoot at. My daddy's a pastor for many, many years. The devil shot at him. And now our preacher, he needs your power. He needs your protection. I ask you so often that you build a hedge about him and his wife and Jeff and Savannah and Josh and Corey and Alexander and Jeremiah and Charlotta and JV. I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of them. The devil sure would love to get our preacher down and his family. I pray you put your arms around them. And when the devil comes around, you draw your sword and you chase him off. We need our preacher. I need the man of God. I need that preacher. And he's done so much for me. I just don't know where I'd be if it hadn't been for the man of God that loved me, even when I wasn't what I ought to be. Now, Lord, bring your protection about this church. We love you. Help us to serve you like we're supposed to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our Father, you've heard the specific prayers of the night. Lord, you know the needs better than we do. So, God, I come to you and I ask that you give us exactly what we need. God bless the families of this church. Father, I pray, I think of a few families that are struggling. And, you know, I can't heal their families. But you could. So I'm asking you to intervene and do what I cannot. There's some people in this church that are not well, and I can't heal them. But I pray that you would. There are people that need money. Somebody needs to pay their rent this week, and I can't pay it. But you can. Somebody needs to be saved, and I can't save them. But you can. God, tonight we come to you as a needy people and a sinful people. I'm asking, Lord, that you work in our midst. And Father, I pray that you'll save the soul that's nearest hell. I pray that those being saved would be baptized and that they would grow. Bless our country, the influence of this church on that country. Bring the backslidden back to you. Please, God. There are people out there, the devil's tricked them. They're away from the will of God. Bring them back, please. We'll help them when they come back. We won't kick them. We'll help them. And Father, in a special way, I'm asking that you put your protection about this church and these people. God, protect my staff. Help us not to lose one. Protect their children and their wives. God, I ask that you'll protect my family. Holy Spirit of God, you're welcome in this place. And we thank you for your presence. There's so much more that could be said, but Father, you know tonight we just wanted to spend a little extra time with you. Answer our prayers, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.